Before reflecting on today's scripture readings, I'd like to point out one of the lessons we learned from this evening's opening prayer. One of the important things about becoming a Christian is we learn to love and desire what Jesus teaches, that we don't just do it, we don't just follow rules, but that we truly come to believe and to love. And in our opening prayer today, this is what we said. Grant your people, Lord, to love what you command and to desire what you promise. And that should be the goal of our gathering on Sundays and other days, that we really try to come to understand so that we can love the truth of the gospel and then desire what the Lord wants us to do. And if we do that, it absolutely changes our lives. So we ask the Lord to help us experience that in today's liturgy. As you know from frequent attendance at Mass on Sundays, the first reading of the Sunday often helps us understand the gospel. And that's true about today's first reading, because the theme of today's scripture readings is making a firm decision and commitment to the Lord. The first reading is from the book of Joshua. You might know who he is. He's the follower of Moses. You know, after Moses led the people from slavery in Egypt to the desert, he died, and God gave it to Joshua, his disciple, to lead the people into the promised land. And today's reading is from the end of the book of Joshua. They've arrived at the promised land, and Joshua invites them once again to renew the covenant relationship that God had established with them. You know, a covenant is a commitment, similar to the commitment that a man makes to a woman when they get married. It's more than just an agreement. It's more than a law. It's a matter of the heart. So a covenant is a commitment of the heart. And that's the background of this reading. Joshua invites the people once again to renew their covenant with God. This is how it went. Joshua addressed all the people and said, "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And then the people, when they saw the enthusiasm and excitement of Joshua, said in response, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And so the reason the church gives us these readings today is to invite each of us here to renew the covenant that was made for us, or we made for ourselves when we were baptized. The Lord wants us to decide today who we're going to serve: the false gods that surround us, or the true God who has led us out of slavery of sin into the promise of his love. Now, there are several other options. We can decide to serve other gods. I doubt that there are many of us here who are playing with the idea of becoming Buddhists or becoming Muslims or Hindus. But I think there are many other possibilities that we play around with when it comes to making decisions about who or what we're going to follow. There are many who want to be our teachers. You know, there are a lot of fads going on in our country at any one time, and we're sometimes tempted to follow those more significantly than following the Lord. We want to follow him, but not with all our strength, you know. We have distractions, we have obsessions in our lives. Sometimes the Lord that we want to serve is ourselves. or the woman in our life that we've just met and fallen in love with, you know, or the God that Jesus referred to as mammon, money, you know, being important, having significance. There's all kinds of options. But every once in a while, God comes knocking at the door of our lives and asks us the question that Joshua asked the people in today's first reading: who are you going to serve? And what he wants from us is to say, for me and my household, I will serve the Lord. Okay, now that all prepares us for today's gospel. Today's gospel begins by telling us that many of Jesus' disciples, not a few of them, but many of them who were listening said, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? Now, what are they referring to? It was last Sunday's gospel. I'm going to read what Jesus said last Sunday that they were having a hard time accepting. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Now, when they heard that, his disciples, the people who were already following him, said to him, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? And Jesus says in response, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. Now, this is really important for us in today's world. Today's gospel, of course, is about the Eucharist and what it means, but there are many other hard sayings of Jesus that we have a hard time understanding and accepting. I think the most difficult one at this moment in our history is the issue of marriage, the meaning of marriage. And our Catholic community's faith is in clear conflict with the direction the world around us is going in the Western world, in North America, in the United States. Now, we believe that marriage is a special relationship. It's actually described beautifully in today's second reading from Ephesians, between a man and a woman. And the world around us has changed that definition. We've had difficulties here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, actually, on the matter. If you read the newspapers or watch television, you know that recently, the head of a religious education department in one of our schools, not just a teacher, but the head of the religious department, her contract was not renewed because she's been in a gay married relationship for the last several years. And in relation to that, I've gotten a lot of mail from people in the Archdiocese who insist to me that they are devout Catholics. They tell me over and over again they went to Catholic grade school, they went to Catholic high school, they went to Catholic universities, and how can the church teach this horrible thing that marriage is between a man and a woman perpetually for the sake of children? And every time that happens, I think of today's gospel and that dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, and then his special dialogue with St. Peter, because the gospel goes on to say this. As a result of this insistence of Jesus that he was going to give his body and his blood to eat and drink, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. I mean, it made a difference. He wouldn't change his teaching, and they decided they just couldn't go along with it, and they went back home. And when that happened, Jesus said to the 12, who were his closest followers at this moment, do you also want to leave? Because that's always an option for us. You know, the Lord doesn't force us to stay. But Simon Peter, who always, despite his sins, speaks for the church of sinners, us, says to him, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Now, do you believe that the teachings of Jesus are the source of eternal life? Or do you feel you have the option of picking and choosing among his hard sayings? The Eucharist is one of those sayings, and we have had a whole lot of people leave the Catholic Church over it. Most of our Protestant brothers and sisters have left the Catholic Church in protest, that's why they call themselves Protestants, of the teaching that this truly is the body of Christ, it truly is his blood. They see it as a holy symbol, but a symbol rather than a reality. Now, just one example, though. This question of the meaning of marriage is going to be a very decisive issue for the Catholics of our time, especially when it becomes much more difficult to hold to that in a changing society. But we do believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, that it's a permanent relationship, and that it is actually a sacrament, which means it's a sign in the world of the presence of Jesus. And we believe that because of what St. Paul teaches in today's second reading from Ephesians. Now, before I quote a very small part of that, I want to tell you a story. Some years ago, when they were putting together the readings for Sundays, and we had this second reading from Ephesians, there were a lot of objections by people in the church that we shouldn't put that in there because women won't like it. It's hard for them to understand and go along with this business about subordination. So what happened was the church decided to give the priest the option to either say the hard thing or not. There's a short version, which is about a paragraph shorter, and the longer version, which you heard. Now, I think it's always wrong to censor the Word of God because it's difficult. That means we pick and choose, you know, or we put off the difficult till a later time and actually never get to it. The teaching of the Church on marriage is a difficult and hard teaching. Listen to what Jesus says through the Apostle St. Paul. It's really important you hear all the words, not just the ones that offend you. Listen to all of them. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is spoken to men and women, not just to women. You know, to be subordinate means to put the other person first. It doesn't mean you go on the ground and kiss people's feet. It means that you reorder things. You know, the natural tendency is to make ourselves first and then the next person second. But to be subordinate to others means you place their interests before your own. And St. Paul, speaking to men and women, to husbands and wives, says you need to be subordinate to one another. That's what leads to a happy marriage, where you both place the other person first. Then he goes on to say the hard words that many people found offensive. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of his wife just as Christ is head of the church. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Now that's true. Wives, you're supposed to be subordinate to your husbands in everything. But then listen to what the husbands are supposed to do. And this is even tougher. St. Paul says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over to sanctify her. Husbands are supposed to be subordinate to their wives to the point of crucifixion. You know, the same, he doesn't use that word, but he's asking them to give themselves even more profoundly in service to their wives than wives would give themselves in service to their husbands, imitating the sacrificial love of Jesus on the cross. And when husbands and wives do that, then we say their marriage is a sacrament. That means it's a sign to the world around us of the love that Jesus has for us. And I want to have the pride in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to be able to look at you married couples and see that kind of love. And I can say, look at her, look at them together. That's the way Christ loves our church. And those of you who are planning to get married in the Catholic Church, don't get married in the Catholic Church unless you mean to do this. Because this is what our church understands about marriage and nothing else. And that will not change, no matter what changes in the world around us, no matter what pressures we face. And then we have a choice. Will you follow the teachings of Jesus? Or you be like some of his disciples? They were his disciples. They weren't his enemies. They weren't acquaintances. They were people who were his followers. And you want to walk away. It's better to walk away than to be lukewarm. If I was named Luke, I would wonder what that word lukewarm means, because it isn't a very positive word. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's an old word, old English word that means tepid. You know, you don't want a tepid cup of coffee, because it's just, you might as well not have a cup of coffee if it isn't hot, right? Or you don't want a tepid cup of tea, and you don't want a husband whose love for you is tepid. You want it to be hot. And that's what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to love him with passion and vigor and to be faithful to his teachings. So, my dear brothers and sisters, and there's other teachings, you know. One of the things I'm constantly astonished about, even today, is the racism that exists in Catholic communities. You know, I've had to merge a number of parishes here. It's been a very difficult circumstance for all of those involved. But the worst thing that happens, in my experience, is that, you know, we merge an Italian with a Polish, or a Polish with a German, or a German with an Irish parish, and the people in one of the parishes, I'm not going to go there because I don't like those people. These are Christians, people who claim to be Catholic. The hard teaching of Jesus is that we all are equal. We're all brothers and sisters to one another. Men and women are equal. All racial groups are equal. We're all children of God. We're sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, and we need to treat each other as brothers and sisters. That issue plays out in the immigration issues of our day. You know, some of it is worry about the borders, but some of it is really racism. You know, there's all kinds of things that go on. The end-of-life issues, the abortion issue. What are you going to choose? The way of the world or the way of Jesus Christ? And so, my prayer is for the people of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to imitate St. Peter at the end of today's gospel. I'm going to close my reflections with reading those words once again. Whenever you have a struggle with the teachings of the church, please kneel before the Lord and use these words of St. Peter in that difficulty. The Lord says to you, Mary, Joe, John, Bill, whatever, do you also want to leave? And you say in response, as I hope I can, Master, you know, the one in charge, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. May God bring to completion the good things he begins in our hearts tonight.